You're listening to the Mind Manual Podcast, episode 35, a deep dive into self-confidence. If you want a particular result in your life, but you're unable to get it, tune in to start training your brain and expanding your emotional intelligence to unlock the most powerful and underutilized performance tool that we have. It's the most important work you could do because it affects every area of your life. Hi, everyone. Hope you've had a great week. Today, we're going to explore self-confidence and how to get more of it. Self-confidence, in my humble opinion, is a subject that deserves way more attention than we give it. I think many of us see it as an observation, that they either have it or they don't, which is almost implying that you are born with it or not. Others might believe that it's something you acquire upon achievement of something, which is the evidence you need before you can allow yourself to feel confident. What I want to offer is that none of that is true. First, let's consider the question, what exactly is self-confidence? Well, the Oxford Dictionary offers the following definition: a feeling of trust in one's abilities, qualities, and judgment. Here's a pivotal distinction that we must grasp. Self-confidence isn't contingent on already possessing a specific skill. It's about having confidence in your potential to acquire that skill. Consider this. If there's a goal you aspire to achieve and you haven't yet acquired the necessary skills, it doesn't diminish your self-confidence. Rather, it should revolve around your faith in your capacity to develop those skills. So if self-confidence is a feeling of trust in yourself to acquire the necessary skills and trust in the qualities that you either already have or you choose to develop further as a human being, given that's always a work in progress, and if it's the ability to make sound judgment based on credible sources of information, then we could easily conclude that fundamentally, self-confidence is a product of our thoughts emanating from our minds that creates that feeling of trust in those things. Trust is a feeling, and since our thoughts create our feelings, we therefore need to examine the thoughts that we have about ourselves. What are the thoughts you have about your abilities, your qualities, and judgments? What is your self-perception? Your self-confidence hinges on it. Write them out on paper so that you can see them all in their glory and ask yourself, would you talk like that to a good friend? Where is the line that you draw here for the way you talk to yourself? If you wouldn't stand for it coming from a friend, why do you stand for it coming from yourself? How do you rate yourself as a friend to you? When you think we spend a lifetime with ourselves, what's the quality of company you're keeping for you? This is something that is completely within our control. The type of friend we want to be, not only to our others, but to ourselves. The reason many people offer for why they might be lacking in confidence is that they have insufficient experience. But experience alone doesn't necessarily determine the quality of our work in the world or how well we can perform a certain task. We can choose to ground our confidence in the efficacy of the tools and resources that we have at our disposal, or that we will be able to figure something out and get the job done. How many of us ever stop to open our mind to the vast, almost infinite amount of resources that we now have available at our fingertips? It's not like we need to reinvent the wheel at every turn. In the history of mankind, we never had access to as many resources and tools as we have today. So ground yourself from all the other ways and areas of your life where you are able to figure something out. We can also use our desire to assist others as a source of certainty that we will find a way. I have found this care factor to be far more valuable than any ability, experience, or technical know-how. When my late husband and I were trying to get a diagnosis of the excruciating pain that he was in 3 years after his primary vascular sarcoma had been removed from his leg, it wasn't the best in the field or the most experienced surgeon that came through in the end. We were nearly 2 years down the track of seeing every specialist there was who could offer any insight into what might be responsible for the pain in the middle of his back and torso. We found ourselves sitting in the rooms of a rheumatologist of all things, carrying images from scans that had to be wheeled in by a trolley. In those days, they didn't have digital image. He could see we had exhausted all of the options we knew, and we were at our wits' end, sitting there distraught, not knowing where else to turn. He spent over an hour with us, his waiting room now full of people backed up behind us. And he told us, and I'll never forget the overwhelming relief that came over when he said, "Don't worry, I'm not going to let you leave here today until we get to the bottom of it." Now, there we had a rheumatologist that really isn't experienced in the area of cancer. And he was looking at the long history of failed attempts from other specialists who were unable to produce any results from a trolley load full of investigations. So where did his self-confidence come from in being able to get to the bottom of this when so many others couldn't? It came from his determination to help. I could tell he cared deeply. He saw that quitting wasn't an option, particularly after he realized that we saw him as our last option. So he decided to keep going until he got to the bottom of it. And let me tell you, after 2 long years, we had a diagnosis before the end of the day, just as he said we would. He looked through all the scans which were taken of all the different sections and concluded we need a full MRI from neck to the waist. And bingo, it showed up on the scan, a secondary tumor. So never underestimate the power of your desire to assist others, and let that be the driver in fueling your self-confidence. You might say, how do you reconcile the fact that when I observe or contemplate my areas of expertise, you feel profoundly confident? My answer to that is, it's because you have satisfied the conditions of the rules that you have set up that form the basis of what you believe it takes in order to feel confident. And upon providing the evidence to this rule you believe to be true, you have then granted yourself permission to feel confident. But you can grant yourself this permission at any time. You can also base it on the trust that you were created complete and are inherently worthy of whatever it is you think you need self-confidence for. You needn't tie your confidence to your personal wealth or superiority. Confidence can be grounded in the acknowledgement that as a human being, you inherently possess worth. This realization liberates you from the need for external validation, as it extends to all individuals. It also safeguards against arrogance, a pitfall that arises when you derive confidence from comparisons with others. Confidence should not hinge on the shortcomings of others. Instead, it should emerge from your intrinsic belief in your own potential. So let's dive into what hinders our confidence. When people express their lack of confidence, they are essentially experiencing alternative emotions. So what are they substituting for confidence? What thoughts are generating these contrasting emotions? Often they'll be spinning in confusion or self-doubt, which all share a common thread of underlying insecurity. Consider confusion. It's an indulgent emotion that ensures we don't start anything. If we remain confused, a decision can't be made, which helps to delay having to experience fear, the fear of not being able to do something, and therefore the fear of what others are going to think about you. And the biggest one is the fear of what you're going to make that mean about yourself. Can you see the hook? How confusion and self-doubt, which are all designed to hold you back from doing the thing, will keep you out of fear. This is when courage is needed. If we didn't feel fear, we wouldn't need to have courage. The strange thing is, we think that because someone is courageous to do the thing, then they don't have fear, which makes them look confident. How many of us think that it takes courage to get up and put yourself out there in the public arena for everyone to scrutinize and judge? Because you have the courage and you do it, then you mustn't feel the fear that the rest of us have, which is why you can do the thing and we can't. Courage can look like confidence. So if the overall consensus is that it does take courage to do something like that, then fear has to be present in order for courage to exist. Don't mistake courage for confidence and think that just because someone can put themselves out there in the public arena, that they don't feel fear and must be confident in that area. Confidence can come from knowing you can feel fear and do it anyway, that you have your own back. Confidence doesn't mean you don't feel fear. It just means you trust in your abilities, your qualities, and judgments, which also doesn't mean that you get it right every time, which you won't. We are all still human, which means we will all still make mistakes. You can't remove the human factor, but you can replace it with the care factor and let that be your driving force. You care about producing a certain outcome for a certain cause. The how is really secondary to all of that. In the realm of self-confidence, there is no need for a zero-sum game where one person's gain is another's loss. There's an abundance of self-confidence available to everyone. The more self-confident you become, the less inclined you are to undermine others. You recognize that excellence is not a finite resource. It multiplies when shared. When you operate from a mindset of abundance, you realize that everyone can possess self-confidence. The more confident you are, the less likely you are to belittle, hinder, or undermine others. Your self-worth isn't contingent on their failures. It's derived from your unwavering belief in your own abilities. Many of us have experienced moments of comparing ourselves to others and descending into despair, the whole compare and despair routine. This occurs when we operate under the misguided notion that success and confidence are finite resources that others have depleted. In truth, they're just expressing their self-confidence more expansively. Self-confidence is a thought in your mind, a construct you can apply to any aspect of your life. To truly embody self-assuredness, you must be prepared to embrace the prospect of rejection. Rejection feels awful and is disheartening, but let's delve into this for a moment. Why does it feel so bad when you fail to secure the validation we seek from others? When someone dismisses your efforts, critiques your work, or simply criticizes you, they are driven by competition and scarcity. It's that zero-sum game that they subscribe to. If I can push you down in some way, then I gain. These people will always be out there, and you will come across them when you dare to put yourself out there on a grand scale. Consider this: when someone rejects you, the gravest consequence lies in how you interpret it. When you have your own back and you can tell yourself that, regardless of whether someone rejects you or not, you will reinterpret it in a way that fuels and empowers you, bolstering your self-confidence. Understand that no one can strip you of your self-belief. Will you allow someone else's judgment to dictate your self-belief? You have the power to decide. We need to be our own greatest believer. Having faith in ourselves will propel us to show up and offer our best to the world. Confidence emanates from unwavering conviction that you can pursue your aspirations even if you stumble or make mistakes along the way. You mustn't tether your self-confidence to the approval of others. It doesn't mean that hurtful words won't sting initially due to your immediate interpretation, but you retain the power to either dwell on them or move forward and leave them behind in their own scarcity. Remember, our confidence doesn't stem from our achievements. It arises from the thoughts you choose to cultivate in response to your accomplishments, your inherent worthiness, is an unquestionable birthright. You possess the capability to pursue anything you desire. Harness the power of your mind and make a commitment to cultivate thoughts of self-confidence. You don't require external validation, nor do you need evidence. If you're seeking greater confidence in your career, your relationships, goal setting, or goal achievement, begin by asking yourself, why am I not confident right now? What emotions am I experiencing instead? And why am I choosing thoughts that evoke those feelings? Next, determine what you want your self-perception to be. What thoughts about your capabilities and potential do you want to cultivate to generate greater self-confidence and achieve your desired results? If you can maintain unwavering self-confidence, regardless of life's trials, you'll amaze yourself with the accomplishments you can achieve. And finally, remember the contagious power of genuine self-confidence. Surround yourself with confident individuals and become an empowering influence in the lives of those around you. Have a great weekend, guys. Hope that has been helpful, and we'll chat next week. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you have to come and check out Mind Scholars. It's my monthly coaching membership where we take all of this work to a much deeper level. We study it and then apply it to the everyday in every way. So if you want to take your life to a whole new level, join me in Mind Scholars over at themindmanual.com/join. I look forward to seeing you there.